about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What was that?
Did you hear that?
Did I hear what?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
When you hear the sound of thunder, don't you get too scared. Just grab your thunder buddy and say these magic words. You thunder, you can my you can't get me thunder because you just got spots.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
I've got to apologize to everybody. When we got back to the station and started editing this story and I started looking at the tapes for the first time, I realized that during most of the interview with Mr. Zetlian, I'm eating. I even talk with my mouth full some of the time. But the baklava was tasty.
And now...
You know what? I think men are better than women. They provide for us, and we must obey them because they are our masters.
Our feature presentation.
Finally, some common sense.
Right?
That's a comedy.
Who's right?
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:32. It is Thursday, the 28th of March.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean. They're great.
Good. An update.
I concur.
An update on, you know, I always complain that there's never enough information in any of the stories. And where's the update? You always hear about the initial story, but then you want to find out what happened afterward. Well, I want to thank the Kevin and Bean listener, whose name is not in front of me, which is a hell of a thanks, for sending me an update on the guy who scammed that poor woman in the Bay Area out of Super Bowl tickets.
Oh, yes.
Right. She bought him on Craigslist, if I recall, and she ended up paying a lot of money, and $6,000, around $6,000 she paid for those four Super Bowl tickets, and then the envelope arrived, if you recall, and instead of the Super Bowl tickets that she expected to find, there was a note in the package that said, "Go Ravens," remember?
Yes.
So we wondered, you know, how'd that go? Is she just out of luck? Of course, she ended up being able to go to the game because I guess the NFL stepped up and they hooked her up with tickets and she was able to go anyway. So, you know, all's well that ends well for her. Not so much for the guy who was trying to scam her out. He has been arrested.
Oh,
he
really?
He is currently in jail in Coral Springs, Florida, with a bail set at $20,000. He has been charged with one count of felony theft by false pretenses. His defense, by the way, is that he sent the tickets, but someone else removed them from the package before they arrived at the lady's house.
Wow, that's rough.
But, of course, the lady, you know, she received the FedEx envelope, and it was completely sealed. It had not previously been opened, so it's pretty hard to prove that one, I guess.
So the FedEx guy was actually a Ravens fan? Is that what the guy is claiming?
Maybe so. And he doesn't explain how the Go Ravens note got in there or anything like that. But anyway, so that is an update on that story, which I was pleased to see, and we'll find out what happens to that dude. Now, here's today's story that I think you guys are going to love. Alexander Mondone is his name. He's 20 years old. He has been struck by lightning four times since September.
Wow, you see these, that happen?
I don't know. You see these stories every once in a while. Somebody gets struck multiple times by lightning, and you think, yeah. I don't think I've ever even been close once.
And it does kind of make you wonder why the expression lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place is still in the language, too, by the way.
When that guy's walking around.
Yeah, when lots of people are. I didn't realize, by the way, that 90% of cases, you do not get killed when you get struck by lightning.
Only
in 10% of cases do you die. I thought it was a higher percentage of death from being struck by lightning.
Yeah, I did
too. I would think you would die immediately.
This guy is in pretty good shape. He's kind of shaky, though, after being struck the fourth time. The first three times that he was struck. Now, again, this has all been since September. So he's on a tear right now.
Well, I wouldn't walk anywhere near that guy.
The first three times he was struck by lightning, he was in the service. He was in the Army. He's in Colombia. And they discharged him. No pun intended. They said, you know what, really? You just go ahead and go and be a civilian because we don't really need you hanging around attracting lightning. So they kicked him out of the Army.
Funny.
So he goes back home to his little village and gets struck by lightning again. And this one was the worst one. I mean, he definitely has some side effects from this one. So he went to doctors and they said, nothing we can do for you. He went to the local doctor and they said, you need to be buried in dirt to absorb the electrical charges in your body that are attracting the lightning.
Okay, wait, is this a real doctor or is this a...
Well, you know, they call him the indigenous doctor, so I don't know. But he'd already been to the quote-unquote real doctors, so they told him he needs to be buried in dirt So he was buried standing up in dirt with only his head out of the ground.
That would be creepy.
Please tell me he got struck by lightning in that position.
Would that be the best ending of the story ever, is if he got struck by lightning and killed? But the good news is they barely had to work to bury him,
because he's already buried.
Mostly underground. Yeah. No word yet on how successful it is. He has not been struck by lightning since it happened, but, you know, he's gone weeks at a time without being hit before. But I don't understand the science behind, if we bury you in dirt, it's going to absorb the inappropriate electrical charges in your body.
I don't understand the you get struck by lightning four times. That goes against
I don't either.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Everything we know.
It does seem like there is something going on in him that is attracting the charge.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So we'll find out whether whether he gets struck again or not. But this is a real story, by the way. I mean, I saw the video of him being interviewed and the people around him while they were burying him with the dirt with just his head out. So
it definitely
happened. But he's not having a good year.
I'd say not.
I would stay inside no matter what. I would
especially when it starts storming, right?
From my house to the car. Like, I would never be outside.
Unbelievable. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You ever tried masturbating? It's very relaxing and it's not fattening.
It's not fattening, that's
all
a
true.
Good point.
All true. Actor Danny Trejo will be in the studio with us.
Oh, he's the best.
He, of course, is Machete.
He's terrifying, right? Yeah. Not at all.
Terrifying, but a big teddy bear.
Yep.
He's got a new movie called Tattoo Nation. It's a documentary about tattoos.
He knows a little something about that.
One or two things, yeah. He's also got Machete 2 coming out, so we can't wait to talk to him about that. We have a brand new internet roundup for you.
It's a good one.
We have the Armenian comedian on today's program.
What?
Well, we need to check in with him. Bean, you were on vacation when we told him about April Foolishness, and
he was over the moon, Bean.
He was underwhelmed.
Oh, that's right. He was underwhelmed.
He couldn't have cared less.
This is the biggest comedy gig of his life.
Yes, you would think, right? But he was not all that interested. So we got to check in with him and find out if he's going to.
He should be, by the way, like most good comedians, he should be honing the act right now. He should be in the club every single night. Preparing a great set so that when he comes out on the big stage in front of 6,000 people, he kills.
See, we're talking about the Armenian comedian.
I know, but this is his opportunity. Look, this is the breakthrough he's been waiting for.
If you want free breast implants, go to England. Apparently, their government pays for it there.
What?
That's good times, right?
Really?
Yes.
Bye, Lisa.
And
we'll pay for your ticket.
And we have your 3-day passes for Coachella. As well this morning, we'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
We continue to try to bribe our listeners to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got Coachella passes for weekend number one on today's program. We got advanced screening tickets for Evil Dead on the show today, Six Flags Magic Mountain tickets, and Macklemore and Lewis tickets for the Paid Dues Festival. All of that given away on this program. It's like Halloween, and we're just handing out candy to the kids, isn't it?
It's exactly
yes,
like that.
That's exactly what it's like.
Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. Hey, Ralph, what's up?
Hey, I've got Evil Dead tickets.
What?
What's that thing going on down the end of the table there? Thanks for tuning in to the Showbiz Beat, and as a reward, I'm going to give you tickets to the very special K-Rock advance screening of Evil Dead.
You're all going to die tonight.
You're all going to die tonight. Hope they're talking to you two.
You're all going to die tonight.
Evil Dead is in theaters everywhere April the 5th. However, you, my lucky friends, will get to see it before anybody else on Tuesday, April the 2nd. At the ArcLight Cinemas in Hollywood, one of my favorite theaters. Jane Levy stars. We talked to her yesterday. Jane.
She was a little tired.
Shiloh Fernandez, Jessica Lucas. It is from the original producers of the original Evil Dead, and they're bringing it back and making it gorier and scarier than ever. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. First five callers to get through with that number get a pair of passes for our advanced screening of Evil Dead.
Speaking of the ArcLight, Kevin, what did you end up doing with the Kevining poster that you demanded they remove from the theater?
A, I didn't demand to remove it, and B, I don't know, it's gone.
No, just
I didn't.
UFO took it. Locust
ate it. They changed it to something else. I don't know.
Earthquake destroyed it.
I don't know. I didn't want it, if that's what you're saying.
We heard that your wife asked them to take it down.
No, just the opposite. They called and said, we'd like to change it. And my wife asked me, and I was like, I don't know. We're so far into this contest now, we better just keep it. So we left it there.
Hmm.
That's what happened.
All I know is it disappeared.
They all disappeared. It was they changed.
Yeah, I don't know. Mine's still there. Mine's bigger than ever.
Yours isn't there.
Mine's like a billboard now. Keeps getting bigger.
It's a shame, though, to see you on the poster Ralphing as Kevin was Kevining.
Ralphing meaning throwing up.
Exactly.
Yes,
see?
I got it.
See?
All right.
File that one.
File that one.
Hayden Panettiere, rumor has it, is now secretly engaged to world heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko.
He moves quick.
He does. Well, they had dated for a while.
Oh.
Then they split back in 2011, but now they're back together again, and rumor has it that they decided, reunited, and it feels so good that they're getting married as soon as this summer. So congratulations. That's a big difference in size, those two.
Yes,
right
it
there.
Is.
Boy, he could just put her in his pocket and just carry her around. Olivia Wilde, while we're talking about engagements, said when she first met her now fiancé Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live, she thought he wouldn't be interested in her because she wasn't, and I quote, pretty enough.
What?
What?
She doesn't consider herself that pretty. That's what you need, boys. You need a stunner with horrible self-esteem. That's the kind of girl you want to end up with. No wonder he proposed. And more in the romance department. Rob Kardashian's a mess.
Really?
We get this information from a hooker he's been spending lots of quality time with.
Why would Rob Kardashian, who has a TV show and is wealthy, need a hooker?
I don't know, but she tells Star Magazine that they've been spending lots of quality time together since he called it quits with his girlfriend Rita Ora.
I don't know how much money he really has.
I don't think it's that much.
I don't think he does
I think
either.
They throw him bones out of whatever the scraps are off of that reality show.
Yeah, and he had a sock line.
Well, he's got his huge sock line, Lisa. That's right. We forgot his designer socks.
That's an empire.
Oh, you know, a guy can't go out without his designer socks. That sounds like a joke. It Who would does. Even think of that? Yeah, well, I'm developing a designer line of socks.
And how did nobody along the way go, dumb?
Because they don't want to hear from him. Like, okay, good. Well, good. Whatever you're doing, Rob, that's great. So anyway, Kim. sources say his business is tanking, he drinks all day long, and has turned into a complete mess.
Oh, sweet.
Can't wait for his Menendez brother moment. Can't wait for that to go down. Lindsay Lohan, while we're talking about hot messes, she's ticked off someone else. This time it's a girl named Isha Wax. This woman claims Lindsay stole her fiancé last December. How could Lindsay Lohan steal anybody away from anybody?
No kidding.
Radar Online's got the report. They say that this woman, Aisha Wax, dated a guy named Liam McMullen for 5 years, was supposed to celebrate Christmas with her family, but instead found out he had spent the day in bed with Lindsay Lohan.
When was this? When she was hotter? Recently.
No, recently. Huh. This is last December. Aisha says she's devastated, while Liam claims that things were over before he ever met Ms. Lohan, so it's not her fault, but still. But it's a good time, though. Spent a day in bed with Lindsay is a good
sure,
time.
I'm sure.
It's just booze and blow and just nuttiness. And
seems like it.
But then get the hell out.
Before she wakes up.
Yeah, and lastly, in more hot mess news, yesterday I told you about the fact that a neighbor of Justin Bieber's alleges that he took a poke at him, filing a report of battery against him with the police, complaining that Bieber drives recklessly in the neighborhood 100 miles an hour up and down the roads in his Ferrari. Claims the neighbor. However, the story we didn't find out until this morning was that Bieber recently returned from his overseas tour. While he was in the airport in Poland, I don't know if you've seen the photos or not, he went through the security checkpoint with no shirt on.
Oh my God.
And his pants pulled all the way down to his thighs, revealing almost all of his underwear.
Because he's so gangsta?
Because he's so gangsta, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
He's got swag. The airport made a point of having a spokesperson tell the press that he was not asked to remove his clothing at any time during the security check.
Awesome.
You should
it's
be
all
asked
on
to
him.
Put it back on.
And another source says he's been stripping at almost every opportunity of late, despite the fact that in Poland, when he was leaving, it was 14 degrees.
14.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, it's not like he's got the
the physique?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
He looks like a little girl.
No.
Why would he do that?
Most disturbing part, say citizens of Poland, is no one wants to see a 14-year-old girl stripping in public. So I think they've got a point. And the Duck Dynasty boys They want what's due them.
Let's do them.
Well, you know, they're pulling in around 8, 9 million viewers every episode for the Duck Dynasty show. Those numbers would be good for any show on broadcast television, let alone a basic cable network like A&E. And now they want to turn those numbers into cold, hard cash. The fourth upcoming season of the show is being on hold because they are asking for more money per episode. They want $200,000
wow.
per episode. A&E is holding off because they don't know whether they are willing to foot that tab or not. They don't own any part of the duck call business or anything else the Robertson family does, so they're wondering if they can recoup their investment on a show. Here's the thing. These basic cable stations, networks rather, do these reality shows because they're cheap to produce.
Ah, yes.
And here's the rub. When it becomes successful and they start making money on it, then the subjects of the reality show turn around and say, well, we want more money, and so then the profit margin shrinks. So,
right.
Well, so A&E is debating whether to bring it back. Even though it's a huge hit, will they do another season or not? Remains to be seen. Today's celebrity birthdays, Vince Vaughn, one of our favorites around here. He is 43 years old today. Cheryl Salt James of Salt and Pepper is 47. Kate Gosselin, she turns 38 years old today. Shauna Mochler, remember her? Model, actress,
yeah.
TV, reality TV personality.
Is she the ex Mrs. Travis Barker?
She is indeed, oh, yes. Yeah. 38 years old. Julia Stiles, the actress, is 32. And Lady Gaga, Stephanie Germanotta is her real name. You see why she changed it.
Mm-hmm.
She's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Well, yesterday was Mariah Carey's birthday. She's 43 years old now, by the way.
Wow.
Okay.
And we were having a discussion on the air like we do because this is Bean speaking. I'm the keeper of the bell, and I'm rarely wrong. I do a phenomenal job at the bell.
Wow. What an overstatement that is.
You're going to break your arm, patting yourself on the back?
I really am the best bell ringer of all time. But every once in a while, controversy erupts. And you know, sometimes it's just, well, we agree to disagree. But yesterday it got rather heated because the guys, and I think, Kevin, I think you're swimming around in a big bucket of wrong on this one. The guys were suggesting that maybe Mariah Carey did not deserve a bell, meaning she is not a hot enough chick at this point to qualify for the hot chick bell, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Yes.
Okay. And of course, you couldn't be more wrong about that.
It's been a while. I mean, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, but even then, my problem with Mariah Carey is that she tries so hard to be super sexy. She wears mm-hmm. clothes that are too tight.
Yep.
She really goes out of her way to say, wow, am I sexy? And then I'm forced into the position of, hey, you're not quite that sexy. Take it easy.
Right.
Now, I don't disagree with you that she makes some horrible choices with the clothes that she wears. There's no question she's the perfect example of the sausage Casey. You know what I mean? She's just trying to stuff all that meat into
right.
clothes that just don't fit.
Now, we're not talking about Mariah Carey 22 years ago either, right?
Right. We're talking about Mariah Carey today, right?
All right.
But that doesn't make her less hot. I mean, she is still a beautiful woman with a great body who makes terrible choices. She's not less hot because she's a terrible dresser.
Yeah, she is.
She's not.
Thank you, Lisa.
She actually is.
She's not. I'm
if
saying
she
doesn't
show off the wares correctly.
She doesn't look her best. She doesn't look her best.
She does always look like she's fat, and it's because of the way she dresses.
Yeah.
You can hide a few extra pounds if you try to hide a few extra pounds.
Dress right.
And she has a stylist, Bean. She has people who dress her. She has help.
She makes terrible mistakes in that department, but that doesn't make her less hot.
Yes,
her body itself
her
and her face is still that hot. Now,
Lisa penalizes her for that.
I can't. Because
I would like
that
to
word.
Penalize Lisa, by the way. That's thing one. And we're going to go to the scientific survey phone calls. First five callers through at 1-800-520-1067. Now, they're already on hold, so they were calling before they knew what opinion we were looking for. So that's how we're going to get a true representation. But that's thing one. Thing two is, and I really got this a lot from the Kevin and Bean listeners yesterday on Twitter when we were having this discussion on the air, is that people feel like she should be, again, penalized, Lisa, mm-hmm. for being crazy. People were saying, no,
oh,
she is too crazy to be hot. I cannot look at her and think she's attractive because she's a mental case. And I also agree that she's a mental case, but I don't think that makes her less hot.
Wow, you have no standards.
No, my standards are that I am judging her. That I am judging her on her face and her body.
Her face is not that great.
I'm stripping away all the crazy clothes she wears, and I'm stripping away all the crazy things she says and does, and just if she were a stranger on the street and you knew nothing about her, you would look at her face and body, and you would think that is a really attractive woman.
No, you know what? I would think
I don't know.
She's attractive.
I don't even know.
Maybe I would give her a she's attractive. But
Hot enough for a bell?
No.
All right.
No.
Let's find out. 1-800-520-1067. Time for a Kevin and Bean scientific survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
All right. That's some good production. Nice work. Nice work, right, everybody.
So five calls. We may only need three because the fate of Mariah Carey and the Hot Bell for next year's birthday and the year after that's birthday and as long as we're doing this goddamn show's birthday is in the hands of the listeners. It is decided. This is the one thing we all agree on, right? No matter how vehemently we disagree with the verdict, we've decided that scientific survey is the rule, right?
Yes, until we lose.
This is the law. All right. So five callers maximum to decide. Nathan is going to be up first. He is on line two. Nathan, you have a very important job as a juror here today. You get to decide, Mariah Carey, is she hot enough for a bell or not?
Happy early Aprilingus, people.
And you as well.
What vote is that? Is that a yes?
No, the ugly on the inside overshadows her beauty on the outside. Not hot, no bell.
Boom!
Wow!
Boom! Wow.
With prejudice.
Boom! With prejudice, exactly. All right. Someone, Beerbug, can you do math? You keep track.
Oh, I think please, he can't do math.
That's one again. Let's see what Chris has to say. He's on line three. Hi, Chris. What's your vote, please?
Hey, how's it going? I think the Asperger's is causing random bells now. Definitely not hot.
Whoa! Have you people not seen Mariah Carey?
This is
the one we're talking about?
This is what's funny, because all of us have an idea that we could be wrong except for Bean.
Yes.
Bean knows for a fact that he's right.
I believe Megan is going to turn this ship around. She's on line four. Hi, Megan. Welcome to the show. What's your vote, please?
Early Mariah, yes. Now Mariah, probably not.
Thank you! Wow.
Aw, poor Bean.
3 for 3. Mariah Carey gets the bell wrongly stripped away.
How about that?
That I did not see that coming.
A unanimous decision. Bean is wrong.
Look, our listeners may be blind, but I'm glad they could at least hear and still listen to the show.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
While you were on vacation, Bean, we called Sam the Armenian comedian.
Yes, thank you for admitting that. What happened? How? Why?
Well, because we needed an we didn't need an opener, but we thought we would add entertainment to the value of the ticket for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness a week from Saturday.
Don't we already have some of the greatest stand-ups in the world on that bill? Isn't Bill Burr still playing and Doug Benson and Jay Moore and Brad Williams? They're all going to be there. Ari Shaffir.
All except for the best, which is the Armenian comedian. Now, I called
him. Isn't he the poop in the punch bowl at this point?
Yeah.
One way to put it.
So I called him while you were on vacation, and I invited him to open the show. He was underwhelmed. I'm not even sure he fully understood what I was asking or what was going on.
Maybe he was high.
Well, he was definitely high. He was born high, Lisa. You know that.
That's true. But so, let me play you a clip. This is from about 2 weeks ago when we let Sam know that there was a slot that he could have if he wanted to open the show.
Okay.
And, of course, we expect our listeners to do the right thing, and I think they all know what we mean. But here's what happened. Sam, we wanted to talk to you. Not that your band isn't great, because it is, but we wanted to talk to you. Have you heard about the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness?
Yeah.
April 6th.
Oh, okay.
First week of April. Jay Moore and Bill Burr and Doug Benson, a whole bunch more.
Okay.
And you remember your experience last time? Wasn't it great? When you came on, you closed the show?
Yeah, you put the curtain on me.
Oh, that's right. You said hello and we dropped the curtain.
Yeah, that was a mistake. That
guy was fired, though.
Right.
What we'd like you to do is come out and maybe open the show this year. Maybe come out first.
Cool. With the band?
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think the band would be better received or perhaps... Since it's a comedy show, maybe some comedy.
The band is better because it will be more attractive.
I think since it's a night of comedy, you know, maybe we should just go with comedy.
Okay. I practice every day on my customers. When I cut hair, I tell them jokes.
So that happens. That's how he works out his material, B.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I mean,
his
look,
customers.
At least someone is hearing it. I mean, at least he's running those jokes by somebody before they get on stage. We have him on the phone?
Yeah, we do.
Because I want to find out if he's taking this seriously and if he's preparing, because this is the biggest gig of his life in front of 6,000 people at the Gibson Amphitheater. And again, it's coming up fast a week from Saturday. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
How you been, buddy? What's going on?
Nobody's less happy to talk to us ever.
Armenian comedian, what's going on? Why do you sound so ticked off?
Oh, Sam? Because I prepare all this time for you to get get me going, and then you knock me down all the time. Then I prepare the CD now, and I just perform. I just want to perform. I'm so itchy.
Okay, I'm itchy too, but I want you to perform comedy because it's, as Kevin explained to you a couple weeks ago, it's a comedy show. People are there to hear jokes. They're not there to hear music.
I understand, but I want to have my own breakfast show, and I have to have you guys play my songs. I send you a CD.
All right, so Bean, I just
want to... you're not pushing me harder than I want to.
Right, Sam, let me just recap for everybody.
Are you translating, Sam? Now you speak, Sam?
So we offered him an opening spot on April Foolishness in front of 6,000 people and some of the best comedians in the world.
A guy who calls himself the Armenian comedian and has been trying to make it in the comedy business for decades. Right.
He didn't mention that, but he's upset at us because we're not having a breakfast with his band and we're not playing his music as a radio station.
Sam, here's the problem, is you're too talented. You're too good at so many things that we can't do everything in one night. So we just, that particular night, want to spotlight your comedy. We just want you to come out and tell some jokes and get the crowd lubed up and warmed up and excited and ready to go for the whole rest of the evening.
I can do that.
Okay, but...
Well, we kind of need you to be excited
I mean,
to do that.
It doesn't, this is the second time we've had to explain that to you.
All right.
Okay. What are you doing to prepare for the set that you have a week from Saturday?
The set that you might have a week from Saturday.
what are you, I mean, have you given any thought to which jokes you're going to do that night?
Of course. I have many jokes. I have a ton of jokes.
Right.
Boatload jokes. Boatloads.
We know you have boatloads of jokes, but we want to make sure that you bring the gold.
Like yeah, are you whittling the material down? Are you working it out? Are you getting the set together so that it's as good as it can be? Because I guarantee all the other comedians on the bill that night are doing that.
Oh, yeah.
They're all full-time comedians. You understand? They're on the road. They're doing comedy probably tonight someplace. So, mm-hmm. You know, they're working their stuff out.
I will make them shame.
You will make them shame.
Okay. He will make them shame. Sam, I know that you're telling your jokes to the customers whose hair you cut, but how about trying
Lucky
to go
bastards.
On? How about trying to go on stage somewhere in the next week or so and work out the material in front of an actual audience? Have you thought about that?
Oh, listen. Every Monday I'm at the Comedy Store, the Ding Dong Show.
Oh, so you are working out. You are working out your material. All right. Do you have a go-to? Do you have a wow, I'm losing the crowd. I better give them this joke because it always kills. You have that one.
Oh, yes.
All right, let's hear that one.
Okay.
This is your sure bet. This is the 100% lock joke.
What did the doctor say to the bartender?
What did the doctor say to the bartender?
I can't believe this is the best joke you have, but I'm willing to hear the punchline.
This is his go-to.
I'm here to check to all my patients. They're going to be my future customers.
So you're saying the doctor went into the bar to find future customers because those people are going to drink and then get sick?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
That's not a joke. That's the best joke you have?
Oh, yeah, I got more.
But you have to have a better one than that. No, I'm saying this. You really got to bring your best.
This guy went to the market and he said, "Lady, where's the apples? I can't find apples." She says, "Are you blind? They are in front of you. You are seeing on your jackass. You jackass."
Okay, that one I can't even make sense of.
That's not the whole joke, though, right? That's still, you're still doing the setup? Hold on, Sam. Seriously.
Apples.
So the guy said, "Where are the apples?" She said, "You can't see the apples. They're in front of you, you jackass." But what's the joke?
That means he's a jackass. He can't see. Our Armenians, we curse. If somebody's stupid, you tell them you are a jackass.
So you're calling the guy a jackass because the apples are in front of him and he still can't see them.
Right.
I see.
Okay. You know, let's not do that joke on the Saturday night, the 6th. Let's leave that one out of the set.
I'd like to suggest that we are on a tentative basis here and that we're penciling you in. But we're going to need to talk to you next week and make sure that you've really worked something good out. before we expose you to our fans.
This is a big opportunity for you, Sam. You know, we're in Hollywood. There could easily be people in the audience that night who love comedy, who have connections in the show business industry, who might see you and go, "That's the guy I've been looking for. That's the guy I've been waiting for." You really got to impress those people that night.
And I don't think the Apple jackass joke is going to do it.
I don't think that's going to cut it either.
Listen.
We're going to give you a week, Sam. We're going to give you a week. Next week, we're going to check back in with you. And we're going to make sure that your set is ready to go before we write your name in pen or type it on the schedule.
Am I going to be picked up, or am I going to drive myself over there and find a parking elsewhere, or am I going to have a...
Are you seriously asking if we're going to send a car for you?
Sam, you live like 10 minutes away from the Gibson Amphitheater. You can get yourself there.
Not just that. We just told you you're not a guarantee yet. Why don't you work on that?
Sam, we want you to do this, but we want you to be good, okay?
Well, thank you. Yes, I am.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll talk to you in a week. Thanks, Sam.
Hey, one more thing.
Nope. Ralph Garman, I have been asked by our listener Chris in Wichita, Kansas, to pass along a message to you. Do you mind?
I can only imagine what it is.
You can't imagine. Where are you going to be tonight? I live in Wichita. I've been a fan of the show for years. I listen to the podcast every day. One of my favorite things about the show is Ralph. He is great. But as I mentioned, I live in Wichita. I'm a diehard Shockers fan. And once I found out that Ralph was a LaSalle alum, I knew it was time to put my love of your show behind me and root for nothing but the absolute destruction of the Explorers at the hand of my Shockers. Please relay this to him, as I cannot send an email to somebody from that school. If he doesn't like it, I'll gladly meet him at the corner of Sepulveda and Ventura. He could even bring Hartman with him. Love the show. Keep it awesome. Go Shock. So there, Chris and Wichita is throwing down for tonight, Ralph.
Come meet me.
Where are you going to be?
I'll be at the corner of Sepulveda and Ventura. I just want that guy to fly out here from Wichita, Kansas, and go to the corner of Sepulveda and Ventura and then run into
Pat
O'Brien.
Are you so excited about your game tonight?
I'm very excited, yes.
Yeah.
What time do you play?
7:17.
Could you be more specific?
No, I can't. 7:17 and 32 seconds will be tip-off. They're very specific with their tip-off dates.
Oh, that's real?
Times. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Because they have to coordinate everything just so. So tonight on TBS, this time around, the network that will be carrying...
You going to paint your face or anything like that?
So, you know, I was looking... through my wardrobe trying to find some LaSalle University gear, and sadly I don't have anything that fits anymore from my college days, so I'm just going to have to find some blue and gold somewhere else, and maybe the face painting is the way to go.
Well, have a great time tonight. We're going to be pulling for you.
I don't think you are.
Yeah, of course. No. I want to look. No. I don't have a team. I'm rooting for yours now.
I was there. I went to the campus. I got a Shockers t-shirt. I know all about wheat.
That's right. He's been to the enemy's camp.
Yeah. And plus, he doesn't want any joy for me.
I think he does.
That's not true at all. I'd be delighted for you.
My man Bean.
No. Yeah, I'm very happy for you and LaSalle. I think it's awesome when teams like this that aren't expected to do well get into the Sweet 16. I think it's great.
I don't buy it. It's all ironic. I don't buy it for a minute. Let's talk about Justin Bieber.
Please.
I mentioned yesterday that his neighbor was the one who filed a assault or battery claim against him, rather, after there was an altercation involving Bieber driving his Ferrari at about 100 miles an hour up and down the streets in his community. The father of three.
So it's a community with a lot of kids.
Yes.
And he's going 100 miles an hour down the street.
Yes. And at 8 o'clock in the morning.
All right.
Said, "You can't drive like this." And apparently the two got into it, and I mentioned all that part. What I didn't mention was the fact that Justin Bieber spit in his neighbor's face.
Oh, God.
That's where the battery's coming from.
Really?
Yeah. Classy guy.
And said, "I will effing kill you," to the guy.
I love it.
Now, prosecutors are saying that it may not sound like much, but they take spitting cases very seriously. Not only is it disgusting, but also poses a potential health hazard
as
well.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it is an assault, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Could he actually have to pay out?
I've always said I'd rather be peed on than spit on.
I have to think about that one. I'm not sure.
I think you're right, Ralph, just in terms of the sanitary nature of it. Yeah.
Just spit.
Well, I agree, but pee.
Pee's basically sanitary. Mm. Basically sterile.
Mm, no.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
it's science.
Could be.
It is.
Creeps me out. That's all.
But I'd rather have somebody pee on me than spit on me.
But I mean, think about it, Kevin. At least pee has been filtered. You know what I mean? I mean, what's coming out of your mouth is just raw, just right out of your mouth, whatever's in there.
Do we have to have
a lot grosser?
Too. It's less aggressive, too. That's a real attempt to... Yeah, a real attempt. It's like a violating act to spit on somebody. Peeing on somebody is almost funny. I mean, it's really less violent and aggressive, really, than spitting on somebody.
That's true.
Yeah. So I'm hoping they throw the book at him and then sentence him to death. So...
Not sure that's on the table, but I'd like to see it.
Way after I become mayor, it will be. Did I tell you I'm running?
No.
Oh, I should have mentioned that. You know what else I'm going to do when I'm mayor? I'm going to pass some legislation that will stop evil people like Maria Shriver, who's upsetting her neighborhood.
What's she doing now?
Well, here's the thing. For the 94th day now, she still hasn't taken down her Christmas lights.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Christmas lights. Let me check the date real quick here. Let me see. Oh, March 28th.
Yeah.
Christmas lights and all her trees, and the neighbors are starting to lose it.
I have a neighbor near me. Same deal. Christmas lights are still up. I'm fascinated at this point if they're just going to leave them up all year.
Yeah, it's year round, I would imagine, for anybody that still has them up. Don't you think?
They weren't last year. You know, last year they took them down at a reason. I do think, and you know, no one loves Christmas decorations and trees and music and everything more than I do. I do think at a point it is a blight on the neighborhood. I agree.
You're a modern day Santa.
She says, the neighbor says the lights and all her trees on her property have become an eyesore, and she's demanding that Maria take them down. She's in Brentwood, by the way, which is a pretty hoity-toity community. So I can see why they'd be a little cheesed off. Is your tree still up, Bean?
No, my wife. Stupid wife made me take it down last year.
Bean would leave his Christmas tree up all year.
We had it up for 2.5 years, and then she made me take it down last May.
She is stupid.
So.
Yeah. How could she want that?
So then we didn't put one up at all last year, so it's been down since May now.
You sure taught Christmas a lesson.
You showed Christmas.
Oh, yeah? No, now I'm not going to have any tree.
I was too sad. I had not recovered from the shock of having it taken down in May to put it back up again in November.
We don't have time to delve into every problem Bean has. We just don't.
I wonder how you're going to get use out of that Mariah Carey ornament I'm getting for you. She's so beautiful.
I'm
going to
wear it on my penis.
She should be on top. Yep. Yep. That just happened.
Made it worse.
Look for a Tomb Raider reboot. MGM has just announced they picked up the rights to the video game with the legendary character Lara Croft in it. And they're going to be making new movies based on the franchise. Of course, Angelina Jolie.
Oh, that's right. She was
became a female action star with those films. Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, and then Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life. Not great films, but entertaining to a certain extent.
Sure. Popcorn, fun.
Especially Angelina Jolie in a wife beater t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I wonder who's going to play the new Lara Croft.
Kristen Stewart.
No, please. Don't even. Now, see what you've done. You put it out there, and someone's going to hear it, and it's going to happen.
No, it was a joke, everyone.
Actually, I think it's cast, and it's somebody that's on Grey's Anatomy right now.
What?
And I think she'd be great. Yeah, I think I read it in Entertainment Weekly.
Is it T.R. Knight?
No.
It's a shaky people. Look it up yourself.
Yeah, Lisa's shaky. However, I hate when we find out some of our favorite shows are going away by casting news. We talked about this yesterday.
Yes. Now what?
Regina King has just picked up a new job.
Oh, no. That means,
jeez.
Does that mean Southland is?
Yeah, it looks like Southland's going to go away.
Oh, no.
On its fifth and final season. Did you see last night Southland?
I taped that.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, I love that show.
Oh, my Lord.
This whole season has been great.
Cudlitz is just one of the best actors
spiraling
on television. Just one of the best. And Gerald McRaney, of all people.
Really?
Major Dad himself, Simon and Simon star. Just crushed it last night.
No kidding.
In the final moments of that episode. So, one of my favorite shows on television. If people who aren't watching Southland, go to hell. Go right to hell. Because it's your fault if this show goes away. It's your fault.
That's
I'm doing my
strong
part. No. It should go right to hell. It should burn in the internal lake of fire. And years from now, when Southland is being exalted by TV historians, calling it one of the best cop shows on TV ever, then they say, where were you? Where were you? When they took it off the air, you hang your head in shame, and you die.
So they have to die and go to the lake of
fire
forever?
You can't go to hell without dying.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lady Gaga is 27 years old today. Julia Stiles is 32. Shanna Mokler. She used to be Mrs. Travis Barker. Now
former Miss USA, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Former dog owner.
Yeah, yeah. 38
that
years
hurts,
old
Lisa
today.
Nice.
Kate Coslin's 38 as well. Vince Vaughn turns 43 years old. Brett Ratner, director, is 44 years old. And Salt of Salt and Pepper, Cheryl James, is 47. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
In Britain, they are paying the National Health Service, which is a government body funded by taxpayers, are paying for a woman's breast implants.
That surprises me.
How about that?
I wouldn't.
Can they pay to get every woman breast implants? Does it say that in the article?
It does not say that. Josie, who is 22 years old, told them, quote, being flat-chested has caused me severe emotional distress.
Well, listen. Listen to Bean and you understand why women start to feel less than because they're flat-chested. I do understand that part of it.
She should have thought about that before she didn't grow boobs.
I could never go on holiday as I lived in terror of ever being seen in a bikini and could never set foot outside without a padded bra.
I mean, if you're really flat as a board, that's rough.
Yeah. But she's not. You see the before pictures. She's not.
She was wearing a padded bra.
Well, she does
pictures,
so.
Kevin.
Kevin, she was a 32A before. Yeah. She was flat as a
board.
She's
like a boy.
But there are two things going on here. There's two things going on here. One is the legitimacy of how difficult that made her life. She just wanted to look like other girls. I in all seriousness, I do totally get that. The other, and the thing that's so foreign to us and why this story is such a surprise to us, is this whole national healthcare thing where you can go to the government and get them to buy elective surgery for you. That's something that we have trouble getting our heads around in this country, right?
Big ones, right?
Yeah, big one.
I mean, if you have like a big hook nose, would they fix that for you?
I think they would. If you went to the doctor and said, I am depressed, I'm clinically depressed because of the way my face looks, will the government pay for that? Yeah, I mean, this article from the British newspaper, I think The Sun, goes on to talk about gastric bypass surgery that the government has paid for and some other people who have varicose vein operations. Yeah, true. But it does seem like the process in Britain is a little bit different than it is here in the United States, where you can bleed to death outside an emergency room if you don't have insurance. It's a little different here. But we wanted to find out more about what this story, what the reaction is to this story and what's really going on in the UK. So we asked producer Dave to line somebody up for us. And I believe we have Clive Plaskett on the phone with us. Mr. Plaskett, I'm sorry, I don't know. What organization are you with, sir?
I am one of the executive consultants for National Health Service.
Oh, fantastic. So you're with the government. That's great. Now, we have not misrepresented this story. This young lady said, I am sad because my boobs are too small, and you had the taxpayers in your country pay for her to get big ones.
Well, I believe it's quite underselling the situation when you say she was simply sad because she had smaller boobs.
Okay.
Josie Cunningham, the patient's name,
yes,
was, we found to be clinically depressed, found that she could not live her life in a full way, given the fact that she had, it was in position of almost no breast tissue whatsoever.
Right.
It was an extreme case, and her mental distress was significant and, in our opinion, genuine.
Okay, so now she has, thanks to the British government, she has 36 double Ds.
Yes. Big ones, right?
So that's going from not normal to not normal. Because most girls don't look like that.
Well, once the decision was made to give Josie the breast implants,
mm-hmm.
we simply left it up to her what size she would like to have her chest measure.
Okay.
And it's hard for anyone to put a judgment call in that sort of situation. It is a very personal decision, and
sure,
we felt that we had to be left up to the patient.
I understand. Now, what's the reaction been like from the British public?
Well, Josie often says that she was quite taunted and teased as a child because of her lack of breast tissue.
Right.
And now, unfortunately, she has been singled out here by the British media and by others, and much as yourselves, for derision and for ridicule because now she has a larger bosom. But Josie does want to get into the entertainment industry, and so the publicity perhaps will be beneficial to her.
Okay.
In fact, just this morning in bed, I was talking to Josie, and I said,
I'm sorry, what?
It was a good thing what you did, because this is getting you a lot of attention.
Wait. Where was this conversation with you and Josie?
It was on the phone.
You said in bed this morning.
I think she wrote me a letter.
No, a letter.
I believe she wrote a telegram. She sent me a telegram, I believe.
Wait a minute.
I think you turned over, and there she was.
There she was on the pillow. So basically, you paid to have your mistress get breast implants. That's what happened here.
Yeah, you, sir. I am completely furious at that unfounded allegation that you may make against someone of my stature.
Right.
And someone, by the way, may I add, who is now banging an incredibly hot girl with 36 double
D breath. Okay. Oh, there we go. Now we got it.
Have you seen
Paul Ransom's way to go? Costa Mesa, you just won tickets to Coachella. Weekend number one, completely sold out. A 3-day pass. We do it for you every weekday this week at 7:20 a.m. We've got it for you again at 11:20 this morning, and then this afternoon at 4:20, tonight at 7:20, and at 9:20. So all week long, we are hooking you up with Coachella tickets. And by the way, that also includes access to the K-Rock Party House at Coachella, which, Kevin, you've been to every year, I think.
Yep.
With exclusive live performances from some of the artists that are going to be playing that weekend. So pretty good times.
A lot of the bands come over and do interviews. Some of them perform. It's great.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. Get to see them up close and personal. All right, you're listening to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. A brand new Internet Roundup is coming up. But first, a feature we like to call, How Does the Story End?
How does the story end, my friend? Does the story end?
Sweet Omar. How about that?
Yeah, sweet and sensitive Omar.
Who knew that existed?
Well, like many other stories that we've done, this one, I'll tell you how the story begins, and then you tell me how it likely ended.
How does the story
end?
Okay,
not yet. Because it could go any number of different directions. Her name is Jennifer Maldonado. She is an administrative assistant at Keller Williams Partner Realty in Plantation, Florida. She just started work there a couple of weeks ago, guys. In fact, she had only been on the job 12 days when one of her new coworkers came to her and said, and Kevin, you're going to love this. The hair's going to go up in the back of your neck when you hear what she was asked.
Uh-oh.
Hey, we're putting a pool together to buy some lottery tickets for the Powerball.
Oh, man.
We're collecting $20 from everybody to buy Powerball tickets because the Powerball is up to $338 million.
Oh, right? My God.
Are you in? And she says, $20. This isn't a dollar, by the way. Like, most people would be a dollar. This is $20. She had just started. She had been out of work for some time. She had just started. She had not received a paycheck yet. She had been working there less than 2 weeks. So she said no.
How does the story end?
I'm going to guess the story ends with her saying no.
Nope, that already happened.
Oh, okay.
One of the coworkers in her office at the realtor's office says, I'll be happy to spot you the $20. If you don't have the money and you want to get in, I'll give you the $20 so that you can still participate in the office pool for the lottery. And she said no.
She said no?
What?
So she's out.
Why would she say no?
She just wanted to spend in the future, throwing away $20. Yeah, $20 is a lot of money to some people. I mean, sometimes that's the difference between paying the electric bill or not. So she's out. They've done.
How does the story end?
She killed herself.
They've done everything that they can to try to get her included in this office pool as a new employee. Well, she comes into work the next day, and it's streamers, and it's hats, and it's cake, and it's candles.
Wow.
And they didn't win the Powerball, but they did have five numbers on their ticket, which was one of 13 $1 million prizes. So the office won $1 million. She was not included in the office because she did not pony up the $20. So everybody in the office won $83,000, basically, is what it turns down to. Now I ask you, what happens next with Jennifer Maldonado when she walks in and that's the situation that greets her, is that she didn't buy a ticket and they won a freaking $1 million. Kevin, Lisa, how does the story end?
How does the story end?
She swallows a grip of pills.
All right, we have one vote for suicide.
They include her anyway.
Oh, that's absurd.
I would have guessed that she sues them to heaven, right? To hell, wherever you sue people to. I would have guessed that she would have hired an attorney immediately and demanded that she be included
in that money. I think you could sue them into the ground. I don't know if it involves heaven or hell.
Yeah, I wasn't clear on the terminology there. Lisa is correct. The coworkers decided to include her anyway. They are giving her, they haven't said exactly how much, but they say they are giving her a fat percentage of the winnings. A fat pile of money is what they call
it.
How one coworker says, if we do the right thing and always care about other people, the right thing will happen to us. And they have decided. And by the way, I don't know how much they gave her. It sounds like it's a significant amount. But imagine how uncomfortable it would be in that office going forward. It sounds like a pretty small office, 12 other people, now her, right?
Oh, my God.
Imagine what it would be like for her to be working in that environment with that hanging over her head.
And they're coming in with their new purses and their new clothes. And
they're talking about their vacations.
Yeah. She owes them all, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's awesome that they decided to cut her in and make everybody happy, even though she declined. So she gets her percentage of the $1 million that they won in the Powerball at the Realtors office in Florida. And that is how the story ends.
That's how the story ends.
We spend all our time on the internet so you don't have to. And then we put the best viral videos of the week together in a place at KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com that we call the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
That sure is a country and western theme, huh?
I sure keep thinking we're going to replace that one year.
The first video we're going to feature is Honest Trailers, one of our favorite features, which is where they take a look at a movie and then they give you a trailer like it really should be.
Les Miserables, please. Told in award-winning songs of beauty and exuberance.
It's Anne Hathaway, like you've never seen her. Literally, she drops dead after only like 20 minutes of screen time. If your girlfriend doesn't appreciate you after sitting through this movie, then you should really rethink your relation.
Less Miserables.
Less Miserables.
And that's awesome.
They do point out that every word is sung.
Yes, that's true.
Every word. I never saw that movie, Lisa. Did I miss out?
Yes, it was amazing.
Yes. It was good. The new Stephanie Meyers movie comes out tomorrow, The Host.
Looks good.
And
I
Mike
think.
Realm, who's a remix master who's going to be at April Foolishness as well, remixed the trailer for The Host.
Whoa!
That is not the clip for that.
Okay.
That is a clip for The Great White Shark. This is bizarre. This is in Australia or South Africa or someplace.
South Africa.
They're doing one of those shark swims where they put a tank down there that's supposed to protect you. And the great white shark just goes right through it.
Oh, no.
Into the actual cage.
Whoa! Whoa!
He went through.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, stand back.
Now, here's my favorite part of every video.
Whoa. I got that all on video.
No, you didn't. You got it on video.
You watched our friend get eaten by a shark.
Unbelievable.
By the way, isn't the only job of a shark tank is to keep the shark out?
Correct. That's
yeah,
it.
Seems like that's a flawed
that.
Design.
This shark just entered right into that cage. Just like, F you, I'm coming in. The Mike Realm video is up there. You should watch it. It's a great remix of The Host. This is... Fights on HDNet. Michael Chiavello, I believe, is the announcer's name. And the fighter's name, I'm going to spell it for you, is Danny Maianus. M-A-I-N-U-S. Maianus. And man, does this fight sound funny.
Trying to slice Maianus open. Maianus getting beaten on. But Maianus is relaxed here, Pat. Still riding the back of Maianus. There is a cut on Maianus. Maianus is in a bit of pain here. Scathe, and the ringside physician has just popped in there to look at Maianus. Maianus could be in trouble. Maianus just stuck here. Maianus all bloodied up here.
Oh, my God.
I don't ever want there to be an MMA fight where that fighter is not fighting and where that announcer is not announcing.
Here's a mix-up of Spring Breakers and Girls. Spring Breakers the movie and Girls the TV show.
Okay. Let's just get that cash and go on spring break.
I would use that money to make some people that I love very happy. So I bought all organic and I am making pad thai.
They kicked me out of school. I thought that was great.
I want what everyone wants. I want what they all want. I want all the things.
Come on, y'all. Why acting suspicious?
Spring break forever, bitches.
Why are you acting suspicious?
How does somebody come up with, oh, I know, we need to take this TV show, which is completely unrelated to this movie, and turn it into one thing?
Drugs.
Crazy.
This is a cute little girl. Cute. Cute, cute. Singing hard rock. She's awesome. She's like spitting.
I didn't get cute from her, by the way.
What?
Because she looks, I'm getting more of a Satan vibe from her, the way she's banging her head. How old do you think she is?
Six.
She is rocking out for six.
Yeah, she really is. And she may be possessed by the devil. You may be right as well. This is Michelle Clark news audio. This is a woman describing hail the size of baseballs.
Large hailstones destroyed mobile homes, busted out windows, and car tail lights.
Man, them jokers was big. Size of a quarter, doggone. He said, kapooyah, kapooyah. And your boy, that hail just came in. I looked at my... opened my door and I looked out my door and started hitting me in my head. I took out running, ran to my restroom, and then I called my mama to see what she all right.
Yes, why the best clip ever.
Why does she not have her own TV show with Sweet Brown, who's the other lady that we fell in love with on the news who sounds just like her last year?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right, put those two together.
Kapooyah. And here's the Kapooyah remix. It's pretty strong.
Nothing counts in the world anymore unless there's a remix. Hey, I know that we don't have audio from it. Can we talk for a moment as we send people to kevinandbean.com or kerrick.com for the internet roundup? Can we talk for a moment about the bus driver with one of the most remarkable pieces of footage that I have ever seen of an in-bus camera? We don't know what's going on outside the bus. We only see the shot of the driver. But he has, it looks like a split seconds notice that, what do you guys think it is? Is it a telephone pole?
It looks like a giant telephone pole.
Yeah.
A pole is coming through the bus's front window. Right at the driver. He ducks down with, it looks like, a tenth of a second to spare, and this pole goes right above him. I mean, like he doesn't have an inch to move. It's so tight. It's unbelievable that this guy was not impaled and died instantly. But then we find out that he not only was okay with the exception of a ruptured spleen, which is no joke, but he then stood up after that near-death experience and helped everybody else off the bus before he sought medical attention.
It is a miracle.
It's the craziest in-bus video you've ever seen. If you do nothing else but go to that in the Internet Roundup today, seriously, it will be worth your time. It is amazing. But you can see all those videos at krock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Sorry, I had one more clip. My bad. Say that last part again, Bean.
It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Dreaded double clap of gayness right there.
Sweet double clap of life, you mean?
How far back in rock history do you have to go to find the origin of the double clap, do you think, Ralph? Because that song...
1955.
That song is 30 years old this month.
Jimmy Bob,
30
Bob
years
Letter.
Old.
What?
Billy Bob, Bob Letter did the original double clap in 1955.
I'm going to source you on that. I'm not sure.
A song called My Sweet Swan.
You're making everything up.
It's all true.
So we know it goes at least back 30 years. I'd be curious to know how far beyond that you got to go. All right, Ralph is here, time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, the thing is, there's no real clap in that song. It's just a snare drum.
Oh, that's true.
So we added the double clap. It doesn't exist in that
but
song.
But the snare has the double clap. Trap.
Sure.
You know what I mean.
Whatever you're
but
saying,
But for instance,
boss.
That Friends theme did have the double clap in it.
No, it didn't have the multi-clap.
That probably wasn't the first
one,
though,
was it?
It
was a multi.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So your argument is there's no such thing as a double clap.
No, there is.
It's never existed.
But just none of the things you've said have had them. That's my argument.
It's out there, but we haven't put our finger on it
yet. About it so far in this segment.
All right.
Yeah, just saying.
We'll take that challenge.
All right. Find the double clap. Then we'll have an intelligent conversation about the double clap.
Won't even happen then.
Instead of this rambling, inappropriate double clap conversation.
Back to you, Ralph.
Let's talk about important things.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
That's right. You don't know. You weren't there.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
That's right. FX today with a big, bold announcement.
Tell me.
They are launching yet another new cable channel from the FX family of cable channels.
Yeah.
Of course, they have FXM, which is the FX movie channel. They've got FX, of course, featuring many of their popular comedies and dramas. Now they're launching FXX, which will be the comedy channel of FX. So all the FX comedies will be moving over to FXX. That means Always Sunny in Philadelphia, The League, Legit, Totally Biased with Camus Bell. All of these things will move over to FXX.
What's the benefit of that?
Well, it's branding. You know, if you want It's Always Sunny, or you want to watch reruns of Sports Night or Parks and Rec or Arrested Development, Freaks and Geeks, you want to see Legit, you know to go to FXX. That's the comedy channel of FX. If you want dramas, if you want, you know, Damages or Justified or whatever else they show on FX.
But I mean, I just record the shows I want to record.
Well, aren't you something, Lisa?
Well,
aren't you just better than the rest of us?
Is there not enough
Maybe
room?
Some would like to know where we're going on the dial.
They ran out of room?
No, they're just expanding. They're expanding their brand this way. As they add more comedies to the FX family, they don't have to worry about how can we fit it into programming on FX. We've already got a full slate of programs. They've got more room now over on FX to develop their comedies and more room on FX to develop their dramas.
Okay.
I think they're taking away Fox Soccer Channel.
Well, that's the thing. They realized they had room for another channel when somebody in a board meeting said, you know, we have a whole channel dedicated to soccer. And the president went, what?
It's a great channel.
There's Fox Soccer? That thing, that's still going on? Quick. Get me FX on the line. We're gonna move some stuff over there that people actually watch and see if we can get some ratings over there.
Yeah.
Fox Soccer. That's a thing.
I watch it every day, Ralph.
Well, not anymore, you don't, Spanky.
Not anymore.
This is a great news story. Thanks to Whitney Matheson from the USA Today. She does the Pop Candy column over there, which is a great pop culture column if you're looking for something to read. She's also on the web. Exclusive story from Whitney about the latest in Gene Simmons' plan to just take over the world with Kiss branding.
Is he getting into some merchandising now?
He's getting into some branding. He's getting into some business opportunities to get the Kiss name out there to make some money. It may be the best one ever. I know we've talked about the Kiss coffins and other Kiss memorabilia.
Condoms and credit cards and lots of things that start with C.
This is a new animated series for The Hub. You know, I love The Hub. They brought
Hub's
back
great.
Batman for a while. They've got My Little Pony over there on The Hub. A lot of good stuff on The Hub.
Okay.
I think it used to be The Hub Soccer, that channel. And then they moved it over and turned it into something watchable. A new animated series called Kiss Hello Kitty.
What?
It is a mashup of Kiss and Hello Kitty in an animated series.
Well, now, I know they did the merchandise like that a couple of years ago. That was very popular.
Of course you do. Now they're doing an animated series based on that line of Kiss Hello Kitty merchandise. It's the Hello Kitty characters in the Kiss makeup. You see?
Yeah.
And four Kiss Hello Kitty characters will be living their rock and roll dreams and bringing pink anarchy to every situation they're in, according to Gene Simmons.
They're bringing pink anarchy?
They're pumped up. They're pumped up to have Kiss Hello Kitty.
Game.
Paul Stanley said, knowing and viewing The Hub as I do daily with my three children, it's the perfect home for us to bring the Kiss Hello Kitty juggernaut to yet another generation.
Game.
Finally, Kiss and Hello Kitty together the way we've always wanted.
That's weird. A little creepy.
I can't wait for the Judas Priest My Little Pony series. We got to talk to Gene and see what's up with that.
Absolutely.
Lame.
While we're talking about television, CBS was the first network to step up yesterday and announce the shows it's renewing for yet another season. CBS, being very solid in the ratings, didn't have much to consider. They gave most of their shows a go-ahead. Elementary is coming back.
That's
Two
good.
Broke Girls and Mike and Molly will return. Reality shows Amazing Race and Survivor, as well as the following dramas, The Good Wife, NCIS LA, Persons of Interest, The Mentalist, Hawaii 5-0, and Blue Bloods.
Basically, now, they're just not changing anything.
Well, Criminal Minds.
Oh, okay. That was what I was going to ask. That was the buzz yesterday, is waiting for that Criminal Minds announcement. Because I guess that shows a lot of fans, right?
Still on the bubble, because renegotiations are in progress with most of the cast. And Vegas.
Oh, right.
Also on the bubble. 2 and a Half Men. Which is still in the middle of negotiations with Ashton Kutcher and John Cryer, also in the bubble. See if they can afford to bring those shows back or not. So those are some of the question marks. But all those other shows that your grandparents like will be back. So enjoy that, CBS.
It'd be nice to have the problem CBS has as a network.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that because the shows that they cancel are higher rated than the shows that are staying on the air on NBC.
Let's let some of those hits go because we've got these other hits over here. We'll nurture these hits, and those other hits, we'll just cancel them. Put them all on Fox Soccer. How dare you? Today's
kickball.
Celebrity
Fox
birthdays.
Kickball, they're calling it now.
By the way, speaking of television, TBS is 7:17 tonight. That's what I'm saying.
TBS 7:17. Oh.
LaSalle!
March Madness.
LaSalle!
You going to paint your face?
Yeah, I'm going to paint something else, too.
We know what you're talking about. You don't have to
get point
for the shocker. Get ready for the shocker.
We don't need to see that either.
Today's celebrity birthday, Salt of Salt and Peppa, is 47 years old today. Brett Ratner. You know him from the Rush Hour movies?
Yes.
What else has he directed that's any good?
Well, the Rush Hour movies.
Tower Heist. Tower Heist.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he sure did.
With Ben Stiller. He's 44 years old today. Vince Vaughn, 43 years old. Kate Gosselin is 38. Shanna Mochler, also 38. She used to be Mrs. Travis Barker. Also, Mrs. Oscar De La Hoya.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
No, I don't think I did.
It's true. Julia Stiles is 32 years old today. And Lady Gaga celebrates her 27th birthday today. Doesn't she seem about Madonna's age?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
She seems and looks 50.
27 yeah. years old. It's shocking to me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Machete himself, actor Danny Trejo, is going to come in here. He's going to kick Beer Mug's ass, I hope, in about an hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Love Danny. He's got a new documentary out that he's involved with called Tattoo Nation that I think is fascinating as well. Is that David King of Mexico, I see?
It is. You bet Dave, your ass.
I'm glad you're here, Dave, because you are notoriously the worst tweeter of photos in the world.
How so?
They're just bad and boring. But you did tweet. Dave's the guy who takes cell phone pictures at concerts and then tweets them as if you can see anything.
Not my fault.
I am the best, by the way, of this group, at least.
But Dave tweeted something
That's
the other day.
You're the best.
That I thought was fascinating. Give me, I think you know the picture I'm talking about. Give me the backstory on what was going on, Dave.
Well, I was at the Sky Bar this weekend, and we were at the bar, and there's these couches that are there, and all of a sudden, everyone starts telling me to turn around and look. Mm-hmm. So I do, and there's this couple just going at it. And
by going at it, you don't mean making out.
Oh, no. At first, she was taking a nap lap. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. And then.
Really?
When, yeah. And
for
then,
reals, though. Not just.
Not like. Okay. Not pretendies, you know?
All right.
For reals. And then right after that, she just, you know, decided to hop on board and go for a ride.
Sometimes that needs to happen.
And yeah.
You can't wait for a hotel room or anyplace else, right?
So wait, you're going to find this hard to believe, Dave, but I've not been to the Sky Bar.
Yeah.
There's no privacy at all where they are. They are just out amongst lots of other people around them?
Yeah, it was, they were in a corner. It was dark, you know, but
mm-hmm.
but everyone was around them, and there were sure people next to them and on both sides in front of them.
Was there a crowd yelling, go, go, go?
No, but like when that. Everyone was alerted to it, the situation, people started.
The situation was there?
Yes. And people started taking photos, cheering them on. And
including you, by the way.
Oh, no, dude. I was disgusted by it.
Jim Lampley showed up.
Bang, yeah. Bang, bang.
Yeah.
Bang! 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 Wow, it was a good one. This is fascinating to me, Dave. So how far away were you from the people?
A couple feet? I don't know.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, it was like there, right there.
Did okay, you go, so I got next.
No.
Oh, all right.
I was like, no, put it away. Because
he wouldn't be ready to go again next, Kevin. Because on the one hand, I'm fascinated with the mindset of the people who think, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and have sex right here in public. I'm fascinated with
drunk.
Those people.
Oh,
yes.
I don't know if that's
very drunk.
I think some people get off on that. Some
well,
people,
that's
a turn
too.
On is yeah. is having sex in front of people.
The way they were, you know, moving and making out and stuff. They
were they
just,
putting on a show? Or
were wasted and tanked.
Okay.
And
right.
You know, because we actually saw her at the bar earlier, and her boob was just hanging out, like
wow.
No worries. And then when before everything was getting going, she lifted up her skirt. She had a nice pair of underwear that said zombies on it.
All right. Mm.
Yeah.
Did you sense that they knew each other or had met that night, Dave?
I
good question.
Couldn't. I couldn't tell.
Did they know everyone was watching?
I think they did. At a certain point, after everyone started hooting and hollering, you know.
Oh,
like,
I guess so, yeah. Once
yeah,
the cheering section.
Yeah, once.
You know, when you're that drunk, it's like, there's noise in the background. Yeah, you're just really not.
The best part was.
That's why Lisa's the best.
You know,
I get that.
I got to give this guy props because the best part is when security finally showed up and ruined the fun.
Oh.
He got up and said, "What?" Like, literally, did the shoulder shrug. Like, "What? What's wrong?" You know?
Wait, what do you guys want?
What?
All right. So, thing one is I'm fascinated with the people who decide now's the appropriate time and place to bang one out. But thing two is I want to talk to people who are in the club, people who are Dave, who have sex break out in a public place. Like, how do you, what do you do in that case?
Watch.
Dave, you said you were disgusted by it. Most people I don't think would be. Most people I think would be fascinated
well, listen,
by it.
It
depends on what the people look like.
Exactly. The only reason why I was disgusted, and maybe disgusted is a little harsh, but she was, let's say, not attractive.
Okay.
And
let's say that.
Quote unquote, not attractive.
Right. Well, you know, attractive is subjective.
True.
Yes. So I did not want to see this, you know, mm-hmm. So I continue to keep my back towards it as the picture I posted.
You're not
and I tweeted
person.
It from Kevin and Bean, so you can check it out for yourself.
What would you do, Kevin, in that situation?
Yeah.
Videotape. I'd videotape. I'd walk
on
up.
Twitter instantly.
I'd walk up and videotape.
Even if
put
it
online.
Was. All 6 seconds?
Yep.
Yeah. Even if the person wasn't attractive. Because, like, remember.
Especially if the person was unattractive.
Remember at the singles party we had at the Playboy Mansion and their couple was going at it in the.
Oh, yeah.
In the grotto. Yeah. Everyone just stood around and watched, including myself, you know?
Most
so I was like.
Most of our singles parties, they break out someplace. We went to Catalina.
Yeah.
Remember that? We went to Catalina and on the way back on the boat, on the top level. With two or three things at the same time. We were losing our minds. We're like, yeah, but look over there. But we're like, well, over here. That was good times. But
so
you're
we
saying
were...
stuff. This happens to people at concerts, nightclubs.
Oh. Parties.
Parties. Wherever you
family reunions.
Right.
Family Thanksgiving
reunion,
dinner.
Porta potties, you know.
Movie
church.
Theaters. Lots of places, yeah, that you might see.
Oh,
it
I'll bet movie theaters that happens a lot.
Yeah.
I bet it does. So I want to know what the reaction is like. Like, where were you when sex broke out near you? And what did you do? And what did you think about it? That's what I'm fascinated with. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we talk to Sean real quick just to kind of get us going here? He's first up on the toll free line. Sean, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Where were you when sex broke out?
Who wants some?
That was new.
That was from a citizen of the day. Remember the guy that got...
Wasn't it Who's Hungry?
No, he said, who wants some? He was spreading his ass cheeks.
Oh, no. All right. So, good story, Sean. 1-800-520-1067. Where were you when sex broke out in public, and what did you do? We want to hear your stories coming up next on K-Rock.
By the way, tomorrow morning at this time, Robert Kirkman in studio talking about The Walking Dead.
Awesome.
Season finale.
You mean not telling us anything about the season finale of The Walking Dead? Is that what you mean?
Talking about how he can't tell us anything about the season finale of The Walking Dead. Yeah.
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 We're going to torture him tomorrow. We're going to tie him up. We're going to torture him. We're going to make him tell us what's going on. All right. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. We are taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. You were someplace in public when sex broke out. It recently happened to Dave, the King of Mexico. We want to know, when did it happen to you and what did you do? Let's talk to, why don't we get Freddie going here? He's on line two and he joins us on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Freddie. Thanks a lot for calling. Where were you?
How's it going, guys? I was at the Flamingo Pool in Vegas during a pool party.
All right.
And there's this older couple. They were like in their 50s, 60s.
Oh, no.
And for some reason, we kind of looked at them and everybody just kind of let them go their way. But the guy all of a sudden picks the girl's legs up and puts them on his shoulder.
And did he shout,
who wants them?
So now it's a little too obvious. Now everybody can tell what's going on rather than just a few.
Yeah, if that didn't make it obvious, the girl starts moaning around everybody.
Yeah, they were putting on a show.
Yeah.
They were putting on a show. And then to top it off, the guy throws her on her shoulders, and she moves her bikini out the way, so
she
gets some action there.
Huh. And then, did you keep, were they at all attractive?
I mean, the lady had a tighter body, but that's about it. Yeah.
So what happened, though? I mean, did a crowd form? Did people start chanting? Were people taking pictures?
People were taking pictures. You could kind of hear people in the background were talking, kind of going, but nothing really like.
did security come and bleach the hell out of that pool?
when security actually came, everybody was upset that they were pulling them out. That was the entertainment. I think that was more
of course.
Than actual pool party.
Everyone's like, boo.
Right, exactly. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Eli. Eli is on line one. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Eli may have been the one having the sex, you guys.
Yeah. Downtown Long Beach. Years ago, I was like younger, 18.
Mm-hmm.
And a public bus bench, me and a guy just got it on.
You just met the guy, or?
We had known each other and seen each other, this movie thing that we went to all the time, for weeks and stuff, and we had thought each other was attractive, and we just
Did you just lose yourself in what was going on, or were you exhibitionists?
I have an exhibitionist streak in me. Like, I don't mind.
There you go.
I'm not the only one clapping. Come on.
Eli's a good one. Eli's a good one. Was there any people around to see you? I mean, what did others do when they realized what was happening?
I think we covered it pretty well because I was wearing a skirt. And we were on a bus bench and we kind of made it not so obvious, but I knew people kind of knew something was going on because there's no way that a girl smiles like that and not have something going on.
Did you make the bus wait?
Hold on! Almost there!
Give me a minute! Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. From the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, and by the way, you can follow us or write to us at Kevin and Bean. Sex broke out at a weenie roast one year during Rancid. This girl's leg kicked me when she had her orgasm. That's how... Matt writes in from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. I was driving into work just yesterday listening to the show, and I heard Kevin and Bean effing things up for an hour. Does that count as sex?
No, come on.
Not what we're talking about at all here.
Dare you.
Let's go to Cassidy on line 7. I think Cassidy also has a concert experience for us.
Hey, Cassidy, who were you seeing?
Yeah, we were seeing Convertites at the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana.
Okay.
And me and a couple of my friends were there, and just to the left of us, there were these two people. They were rocking out the whole night, and all of a sudden, my friend turns around and goes, "Oh my God, look!" and points, making it super obvious to everyone around us. And she was straight up bent over in front of him, like just going at it. And no one, aside from everyone paying attention, because my friend pointed it out so obviously, no one did anything. They just did their thing. They were in their own little world. They didn't care.
At a metal show. At a metal show, I imagine that's fine. Security's not going to break that up.
And I'm not surprised that nobody did anything because, I mean, what other concert goer is going to go up to them and tell them to stop? I mean, it's a curiosity, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was our first time at a show like that, too. So it was just super weird for us. We were just like, what do? We were like 4 feet away.
Extra entertainment. There you go.
So weird.
There you go.
Thank you, Cassidy.
Thanks for the call. Let's do, we got so many. Let's go to Jesse. Jesse's on line one. He's got some international public sex to tell us about.
Jesse
is no longer on line one. Let's do one more then. Let's do Alana on line two. Talk about a place you wouldn't expect sex to break out.
Hey, Alana.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. Where were you? What were you doing?
I was at my sister's wedding reception in one of those, like, small-town convention halls outside of New York, and went to the bathroom, rounded the corner, and walked up on two of my sister's friends having sex against the wall.
All right.
Did you say anything? Did you just walk by?
Did it make the wedding video?
It did not make the wedding video. My parents would have been pretty pissed. Religious.
Wouldn't you guys be mortified, though? Seriously, if your friends, Kevin, had sex at your wedding reception, wouldn't you be horrified by that?
Ralph had sex at my New Year's Eve party.
In your bathroom?
In our bathroom.
Yes.
Would I be horrified? No, I don't think I'd ever be horrified.
Knowing that your grandparents are there and stuff?
Well, I wouldn't want grandma and grandpa to see it.
But. All right, Alana, thank you very much for the call. So the good news is sex is breaking out all over the damn place. That's what I love about our listeners. We need to clear the lines now and open them right back up. Same toll-free number at 1-800-520-1067. Once again, we're going to give away some three-day passes to Coachella. You're going to get a chance to qualify for a grand prize drawing that we'll do in about 10 minutes or so. Somebody's going to go, Kevin, what are we looking for this time?
We are looking for you to stump Rodney.
Oh, all right.
Rodney Bingenheimer, of course, longtime DJ here at K-Rock, knows everything about every band. Any trivia about any band playing Coachella, if you can stump Rodney, you'll go into the drawing at 1-800-520-1067.
All right, it's not your show, Rodney. Your show is
Rodney
at midnight.
And the Rock Show, K-Rock 106.7.
Nope. We've just invited you to come in on the Kevin and Bean show because you know a lot about all the bands that are playing Coachella again this year.
Coming
we want to have you...
A new song by the Raspberries just found.
Right.
Just,
we're not playing the Raspberries. But listen, right. You're going to help us give away some tickets at 1-800-520-1067 because you're the king of all music, particularly 80s music. I know that's your favorite is the 80s.
Right.
But you know all the current music too, right?
Duran Duran.
That's one of the bands, right, but they're not playing Coachella. So if people have any kind of trivia question about any
Coachella,
of the bands on the bill at Coachella, you can call right now and try to stump Roger.
June 7th.
What?
Can you stump Rodney?
Coachella.
Can you
stump Rodney? Play it again.
Now what's happening?
Play the intro again.
That was Beer Mug, right?
That's awesome.
Yes. No. Okay, listen, Rodney, questions
June
on...
June 7th and 8th.
What are you talking about, June 7th and 8th? That's not right at all.
Coachella it's the weekends Mountain of April Music 12th Festival. And the 19th. No, you're wrong, Rodney. Listen, we're going to take trivia questions on bands from the 80s that you know and love, like the Blur and the Stone Roses, also more current bands like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs of Monsters and Men, Passion Pit, whatever, Phoenix, Red Hot Chili Peppers, whatever bands people want to call about, you have the answers to the questions, right?
All right.
So listen to the question
the
and then
clash.
Give us. There's no question yet. Let's start
with
Mike.
Peter Cetera.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Kevin and Beanie. Lisa May.
Hello.
Good
Cameo.
Luck. Stump Rodney.
Who is the lead singer of Social Distortion?
Peter Gabriel. All right.
Why do you say all right? That's not correct.
What did I win? Peter
is it
Gabriel?
Peter Gabriel, Mike?
No, it's Mike Ness.
Mike Ness.
All right.
That was a gimme.
You know that, right, Rodney? You play social. This doesn't have anything to do with Peter Gabriel. You play Social Distortion on your radio show. You know Mike Ness. Why don't you know the answer to that question?
Genesis.
Mike, you're in the drawing.
Thank you. Somebody is going to win tickets 3-day pass to Coachella.
Right.
Who's next?
Bob Geldof.
Next is Liz.
Next is Bob Geldof coming up.
Hi, Liz.
Hi.
Rodney, speak when you're spoken to, please. Yes, Liz, you have a question.
Yes, so when was the band the Red Hot Chili Peppers formed?
If I just speak when I'm spoken to, there's no bit.
That's a good point.
So why don't you pipe down?
Okay, I'm sorry, Rodney.
Wow.
Rodney getting uppity.
What year did RHCP form?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
All right.
What year did they form?
Oh, all right.
You're not giving us a year, though.
Haircut 100.
Is that Haircut 100, Liz?
No, it's 1983.
83.
All right, I love the
80s. Right, but you... never mind.
All right, so Liz is in the drawing. Let's go to Kyle. Kyle has an interesting question about one of the bands a lot of people are looking forward
all
to
right.
seeing at Coachella.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, guys. Hey, party people.
Hi.
Stump Rodney.
All right, Rodney. How many band members make up the Yeah Yeah Yeah?
Level 42.
That's another band.
All
though,
right.
That's your final answer?
Joe Boxers.
Is it level 42?
Yeah. Wigwam
no.
Bam.
How many people in the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Kyle?
It's three.
Three.
That's Godhead.
Does that ring a bell, Rodney? Three?
All right.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. You're in the drawing.
That's
all right.
Bad rap.
Now, you told us that you know a lot about these
Fun
bands,
Boy
right?
Fun Boy 3. Fun Boy 3.
You're 0 for 3 so far, Rodney.
Fun Boy 3?
No, just three.
All right.
Just the number three.
Terry Hall.
Okay. Let's go to Rachel on line five, please. Rachel is up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck. Stump Rodney to go in the drawing for Coachella
right.
weekend passes.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi, Kevin, Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
Say hi to Rodney.
Hi, Rodney.
Hi.
And stump him.
What band name did Blur used to go by?
Flock of Seagulls.
Were they the Flock of Seagulls, Rachel?
All right, I ran.
Oh, that's so close.
What is it?
Seymour.
Seymour.
All right.
Flock of Seagulls. That's about as close as Rodney gets, I think.
Seymour.
All right, let's try Danielle.
Horrors.
Danielle on line seven. We really only have time for a couple more questions, Rodney.
Right.
So far, you've not been able to come up with one, but maybe Danielle's got a question you know.
Hey, Danielle.
Hey, guys.
Stump Rodney.
What city did Imagine Dragons originate in?
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Now,
right.
You know that's not a city, right, Rodney?
It includes a city.
Hollywood.
Right, but we're looking for the name of the town where the band got formed.
Berlin.
Okay, you say Berlin. All right. Is it Berlin?
Danielle, what's the answer?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
All right.
You've heard of Vegas, right?
Why is that
you didn't
all
win
right?
anything.
What did I win? Adamant.
All right, one more. Let's go to Rita. Hello, Rita.
Big Country.
Hey.
Hi there. Stump Rodney.
Boomtown. Boomtown
Rodney,
Rats.
What?
What is Flea's daughter's name?
Flea's daughter's name.
Pretty,
got a tattoo of it, I believe, right?
Sheena Easton.
Is it Sheena Easton?
All right. Morning, Trey.
No, it's Clara.
Clara. Yeah. Does all that ring right. a bell, Rodney? Clara?
No. You didn't
Susie
nail
Sue
it.
And the Banshees.
No, we're not. There's no more question there. We're
Linda
done.
Linda Carlisle.
We've got Mike in the drawing. I all believe right. we also have, we've got Liz. We've got Kyle. We've got Rachel. Wow, a lot of people have stumped Rodney this time.
Susanna
we've got Danielle.
Huff.
And we've got Rita, but only one can win the 3-day weekend pass to Coachella. Who's it going to be?
Billy Ocean.
It's not Billy Ocean. It's
right.
Danielle.
Yay!
Danielle. Congratulations, Danielle.
Oh, thank you so much.
You won the 3-day passes. Thank you, Rodney.
Echo and the Bunnymen?
Shut up.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam.
This is Machete.
Yes, it is. Danny Trejo coming up just after the top of the hour. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, real quick reminder, Saturday night it is the return of Hollywood Babylon to the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Kevin Smith and I doing what we do. It is 8 o'clock on Saturday night. If you'd love to come out, we'd love to have you. You can go to CSMOD, CEESMOD.com for more details and to get your tickets. But it's the return of Hollywood Babylon at the Lovitz. So.
But this is America. I want it now.
Well, you have to wait till Saturday night. That's when we do that thing. And I'm sure we'll be talking about Justin Bieber. He is bad.
Yeah, he's bad in a lot of ways.
And getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
He just returned from his overseas tour. And I mentioned this week that he got in trouble with a neighbor. What I didn't mention was when he was coming back from overseas, he left for L.A. via Poland. He showed up at the airport shirtless with his pants tugged down around his thighs, revealing all of his underwear.
Those pictures are ridiculous.
As he walked through a security checkpoint.
And he thinks he's so cool.
He's got swag, Lisa. You don't understand because you don't have swag.
He does have swag.
He's the best.
It was 14 degrees in Poland that day, by the way, when he left.
That's how he rolls, man.
He doesn't need a shirt. Swag keeps him warm. Then he got home, and he took delivery of his new Ferrari, and he started driving it. And residents say around 100 miles an hour up and down the streets of his residential neighborhood where children live. Confronted by a neighbor I mentioned, the neighbor claimed Bieber tried to throw a punch at him, and he did file a battery claim with police against him. However, what I didn't mention is that the guy claims Bieber spit in his face.
Oh, you totally believe it, don't you?
Absolutely.
Totally believe it.
Because that's a punk move.
Yep.
And he's a punk.
Yep.
And then threatened to effing kill the neighbor.
Which we've seen on video.
Which we've seen him do with paparazzi.
Right.
And this guy isn't a paparazzi. He's not some fame seeker. This guy just lives in the neighborhood, came out, and told Justin Bieber off. I don't think he's making stuff up to try to make himself look good. He's a father of three. He's just a guy trying to make his way in the world.
That'd be a nightmare to have Bieber move in next door to you,
deal with this a-hole on a regular basis. If Justin Bieber spit in my face, I don't think I'd be able to contain myself.
Yeah, no kidding.
I give this guy props for not going off and slapping his ass down.
But Bieber would have effing killed him. You forget
true.
That part.
I forget the power that is Bieber.
Right.
You know, that sure, he's got those pipe cleaner arms, but, you know, look at like a bullwhip. If you move them fast enough, they can really sting. You can just whip those arms at you. It'd be like somebody getting you with a wet towel in the locker room.
I think he's the world's biggest douchebag.
Well, there's that possibility. Meanwhile, Lindsay Lohan, also in the news. Poor Linz. She can't catch a break. Reported she showed up late the other day for her gig on Anger Management.
That's not
holding
her not
up
catching
the production.
A break, though. That's her being,
that's being what,
Lindsay. Not caring
that's what
about.
They're saying. We don't know whether it's true or not. Yeah. Does it sound like Lindsay Lohan to be late on a set, really?
Yes.
100% of the time.
Oh, all right. Never mind.
Yeah.
Not a good point.
Sounds right.
But meanwhile, there's a girl named Aisha Wax who is claiming that Lindsay stole her fiancé last December. His name is Leon McMullen. He dated Aisha for 5 years. They were engaged. They were supposed to celebrate Christmas with her family. Instead, he never showed, and the story ended up that he was spending the day in bed with Lindsay Lohan. Liam isn't denying this, but he says things were over with his fiance before he ever met Lindsay. Aisha is understandably devastated and upset with Lindsay. This all via RadarOnline.com if you want to read the rest of the story. But how much of a mess is Aisha Wax if this guy's picking Lindsay Lohan over her?
Yeah. Right.
Little time in the mirror, Aisha. That's what I'm saying. Little me time. Take a good, long, hard look. Introduce yourself to someone named Aisha. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
And I love good movies.
Me too.
No, you like loud movies.
Oh.
I like good movies. And I'm hoping for that when they reboot the Tomb Raider franchise. MGM has announced they picked up the rights to the video game. Of course, Angelina Jolie famously played Lara Croft. Lara? In the Tomb Raider in 2001, and then Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, its sequel in 2003.
How much was cut out of the movie? Or was everything kept in?
Oh, everything was kept in, yeah.
That's how they do it.
That's how they do it. They don't take anything out of movies.
Everybody knows that about movies. Is you, whatever you shoot, that's what you put up on the screen.
No word yet on who's going to play Lara Croft, but Lisa says it's some girl from Grey's Anatomy. That's what we got from her.
Do you want me to look
today.
It up?
No, no.
I'll look it up for you.
Well, why have facts?
Those of you that get all your show.
We can just give vague, vague sort of general references to people.
What kind of element that maybe the audience won't expect will happen in the movie? Can you give that away?
Yeah. The element that they won't expect?
That's a good question.
He's the best. It's not that Sarah Ramirez, is it?
No,
it's not a big
chunky. This is a girl that plays an intern. She's really cute. Very hot, intern. Actually.
How long does it take you to find some facts to back up your statement?
Well, I found her pictures.
If she was in a car accident, I bet you'd find
she'd be all over it.
Camilla Luddington is her name.
Camilla Luddington.
Luddington.
Luddington. There you go.
Luddington.
Luddington. Camilla Luddington.
Yes.
And if that woman doesn't play Lara Croft, the next Tomb Raider film, you have permission to slap Lisa.
Or give her big kisses, because I am right.
Be careful, because she does have a mauve belt.
Or give her big kisses.
Some type of slap.
Pat O'Brien, you know Camilla Luddington, don't you? You must know her. She's in Hollywood.
I was the very first person to interview Camilla Luddington.
Were you?
Yeah. Nice girl, too. We used to play a pickup basketball game at Kevin Costner's house.
Right.
Skins and shirts.
Right.
She used to be Skins, by the way.
Really?
Oh, that was nice. Back in the days. You know, I was still fighting my demons.
Right. You're not anymore.
No,
you're clean now.
Sober now. Clean and sober.
Yeah. Right.
I don't like to make a big deal about it.
No, you don't
bring it up very often at all.
I don't like to make the story about me.
Right.
Like I said in my open letter to Lindsay Lohan, when I volunteered to help her fight her demons and be her mentor.
Uh-huh.
That was nice of you to do that.
I don't like to make it about me.
Right.
No, you were anonymous. I'm sorry. It was an open letter.
About helping other people, by the way. That's why I published it in major newspapers, because I don't like it to be about me, guys. You know that.
I
Kevin
understand.
And Bean.
Sorry.
Sure.
Sorry,
little famous K-Rock.
Right.
Okay.
Pleasure to be here, by the way.
It's nice to see you.
Hey, if you don't like it, you know where to meet me. I'll be in the corners of Pulvin and Ventura.
Right.
Come on
down
there. You know what I look like. There's a hospital nearby. I won't take you there. But that's where you end up. I'll lay you out.
We don't want to fight with you,
Pat. Ask Hartman.
Who's Hartman?
He knows. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lady Gaga is 27 years old today, Julia Stiles is 32, Kate Gosselin is 38. You know, I was the first guy to interview Kate Gosselin after K+8. I think I gave her two of those. Vince Vaughn is 43 years old, and Salt of Salt and Pepper turns 47 years old today. You know, I named Spinderella.
You did.
That was my idea. I came up with it.
Nope. It's not true, Pat.
Originally, she was known as Turntable Girl. And I said, that doesn't have a ring to it. They were very grateful, by the way.
This was after you came up with the Sweet 16 of the Elite Eight.
That's right.
Named Spinderella?
That's right. I gave her Spinderella.
All right.
You do know a lot of people.
Name's still stuck today, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm Pat O'Brien. And I walk the showbiz.
One of our favorite actors in the world is in studio now. Who has a crazier career than a guy who was on Baywatch but also Breaking Bad? He was in Anchorman but also Sons of Anarchy, Desperate Housewives, and also He's Machete. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Danny Trejo joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Danny.
What's going on, buddy?
Great.
You have the weirdest career of anyone we've ever met.
What's funny is my mom didn't even think I had a job. You know, I mean, I used to, like, come home and say, Mom, I worked with Robert De Niro. And she would go, I know, mijo, but get a job.
She didn't know what that represented?
I did 4 episodes of The Young and the Restless.
Uh-huh.
And you would have thought I won an Oscar.
And then she
went, mijo, you finally made it. Oh, my God. We saw you. We were all... She had all her little tea group in front of the...
Oh, my God. TV.
Well, it's always a thrill to welcome you back to K-Rock. We love you, Danny, obviously. And we're actually, we're excited about so many things that you have going on. First of all, you're so great on Sons of Anarchy, and that show has been so awesome this most recent season. I can't wait for that to come back.
Yeah, we'll be starting that again couple months, I think.
Oh, what a brilliant show that is. Second of all, we want to talk about Machete Kills, but we'll get to that in a few minutes.
Charlie. Yeah, Charlie, call me, all right? Don't make me come get you. All right.
What's happening right now?
What's happening?
That was Charlie from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. There you go. But we wanted to talk first. Let's get the pressing business out of the way because you've got a movie that's opening up everywhere on next Thursday, April 4th.
Yeah.
It is called Tattoo Nation. Now, you appear in this. You and your daughter both appear in this.
Right.
It is a documentary. We can guess by the title that it has something to do with tattoos. Tell us more.
Well, you know, it's like tattoos were like really changed when a fine line tattoo, gray and black, started coming out.
Uh-huh.
And that was Jack Rudy and Freddie Negrete, you know, and Charlie Cartwright. They started a new style, and it basically came out of prison. And the reason it's like we used to use the E string of a guitar to tattoo, you know, single needle, bang bang bang. So
it had to be the E string.
Well, yeah, because the other ones are too thick.
Oh, okay.
You know? And so the E string holds the point better than a regular needle.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fine line started actually coming out of prison.
So that's where it started. That style started in prison.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so like all the Mexicans, they used to like La Virgen de Guadalupe and that kind of stuff. And a lot of the white boys, they started with the Celtic Viking,
right,
thicker line, you know. Uh-huh. So the styles changed a little. Not saying that Gil the Drill and Baby Ray, they still can do the fine line, but their style is like a little thicker, and like you get your Freddie Negrettis and Mark Mahoney can do anything, but hey, tattoo with his toes.
What you're talking about is fascinating, though, and that's what's great about this movie is it takes you back to the early days of tattoos, like you say, people doing it in prison, which, by the way, I don't think I want a prisoner tattooing me with no experience. I really think that's best left to the professionals. But, Kevin, they talk about how the prisoners had cassette players, and they would take the motor out of the cassette player and hook it up to use this guitar string, like Danny says, and also use a ballpoint pen. And they would make ink out of things like by burning and melting paper and things like
that.
They make colors.
Chess pieces,
whatever it took,
You know what's funny? I did a movie called Blood In, Blood Out. And I did it in San Quentin. And Freddie Negrete and Gil the Drill were the two guys that were in charge of the fake tattoos. But the makeup trailer turned into a workshop for tattoo guns. All the prisoners would bring their tattoo guns, and Freddie Negrete and Gil were like fixing them.
Danny, you got your first tattoos as a prisoner in San Quentin, right?
Yeah, yeah. Harry Super Jew Ross.
Sounds like a joke, but it's not.
It's not. That was his name. That might be on his birth certificate. But he put the big charra, the Mexican lady, on my chest.
And that's the one that you were just telling us is the most famous one ever?
Yeah, that's one of the most recognizable tattoos in the world.
And it was done by a super Jew.
Yeah, Harry.
That's his nickname.
Harry Super Jew Ross. Me and him were friends, from... So we were 16 years old, you know, and then we were in prison together. One time we robbed the same store, like different times. He robbed it on a Monday, I robbed it on a Tuesday.
That's how you know your friends.
That's my buddy.
They're like, sorry, Danny was here yesterday. We don't have any money.
But Danny, let me ask you this. Take me back. So back in the day when you got your prison tattoos and then you got out, and let's face it, Danny is the poster child for turning your life around and making an honest man out of himself after a rough start. But you got out of prison in the early 70s. What was the nation's reaction to guys like you when those tattoos back then? You were really looked down upon as second-class citizens because of the tattoos, right?
Well, you people got out of the way. The only people that had tattoos were like bikers and lowlifes, really.
And Navy guys, right? Guys in the military. They got them.
I'm sorry, bikers. I'm sorry. Don't go riding.
You know, but they did look down on tattoos for a long time.
For decades, they looked down on them.
In the 70s, like in the late 70s, it's like you started seeing women with tattoos. And it was like... Because before, any woman, you know, with a tattoo was like really looked down upon,
right?
You know? And But like in the late 70s, it's like you started seeing women, you know, like with tattoos and
now you have babies with tattoos. It's great.
Now you got like, you know, God, my daughter's got tattoos.
I would expect your daughter to have them.
It's so funny. My son, I remember when he said, Dad, I'm going to get a tattoo. And,
what are you going to say?
Yeah, you know, I'm standing there with my shirt off.
You said, let me get an E-string. The number that's in the film, and again, we're talking about Tattoo Nation is the name of the documentary, which is just excellent. So, so well made. It's opening up on Thursday, April the 4th. The fascinating documentary, I think, Danny, if I have this right, is that 40% of adults under 40 have tattoos now, right?
Right.
40%. Like that. Yeah. Which is a lot. And there is virtually no stigma anymore. Not only that, the art form has advanced so much that it's incredible the things that people do as tattoos now that look like they could be photographs. They're so beautiful.
On my back, Mark Mahoney did a picture of my three kids playing in Venice Beach with Jesus Christ over him with his hands extended, and people, it looks like a photograph that I've got the photograph. Jesus wasn't in it.
I think we could probably assume that
Mark put it in, but the funny part was that the background is Venice Beach, and I was doing a film with Adrian Brody. Did I just drop that name? Pick it up.
You did.
Yes. No,
I was doing a film with Adrian Brody. We're in Hawaii. And he goes, my God, I used to live there. It was when he first moved here from New York, he lived at the Cadillac Hotel in Venice.
Right where the tattoo is.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So,
that's my house on your back.
so kind of fan I am.
Well, we have to take a break. Danny Trejo is here in the studio on the Kevin DeBede Show. The film is called Tattoo Nation. By the way, our friend Travis Barker is in this. Mr. Cartoon is in there. Lots of other people you know. And the legends of tattooing that are still alive and interviewed in this film are just fascinating dudes, too. So we'll talk more about that and the new Machete movie and so much more with our guest right after this on the Kevin DeBede Show on K-Rock. One of the most terrifying people you'll ever meet in your life on the outside, but just a pussycat on the inside. Danny Trejo in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBede Show. Terrific actor, Tattoo Nation he appears in, which, by the way, not only is opening nationwide on Thursday, April 4th, but is going to be playing twice a day at the Arclight in Hollywood.
Right on.
And that might be a great place for you to go see it. So definitely check out the movie. It's super, super cool. Machete Kills coming out in September. I know you, Danny, you'll have like five other movies between now and then, but we're very excited about the sequel. How crazy was it that the first Machete even got made? Remember the story about how that whole thing started?
Well, you know what? It started, actually. Robert Rodriguez told me about Machete when we were doing Desperado like 20 years ago. You know, he saw the way I was with the people in Mexico and stuff. He says, I have this idea for this guy who's from the people and he's a badass. And I was okay. So, but then we talked about it you know, when they did Grindhouse, he kind of said, you know, let's do a fake trailer for it. So we did a fake trailer for it. And in Spy Kids, I was Uncle Machete.
That's right.
You know, and so he just loved the name and he loved the idea. So once we did the trailer, everybody wanted us to do that.
Everybody wanted
the
Machete.
I remember seeing the trailer and going, come on now. Yeah. We need Machete and we need exactly. Thanksgiving. Those are the two we need.
I'd even pay to go see Don't. I want to see them all, actually.
So we did a, you know, so Robert, you know, Robert probably has done more for independent filmmaking than anybody has in the past 50 years, you know. And so he showed literally my son how to make a movie, you know. I'm just so
If he's teaching people one at a time how to make films, it's hard to argue he's not doing his part,
you know. I mean, so he's an amazing filmmaker. He's you know, he's a genius as far as behind that camera.
So Machete's first, then it's Machete Kills.
Machete Kills, and then after that, it's
hold on.
Be...
Let me just read the list of people that are in Machete Kills.
Okay, all right.
And you can just verify: Danny Trejo, Jessica Alba, Michelle Rodriguez, of course, Amber Heard,
yeah,
Antonio Banderas, Zoe Saldana, Edward James Olmos, Vanessa Hudgens, Cuba Gooding Jr., Charlie Sheen, Mel Gibson. What's happening in this movie?
Edward James pulled out.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Yeah, he got scared. And
was he scared of you?
I scared of everybody.
He may be the only guy I can think of that has a scarier face than yours, by the way. It might have been too much to have you both on speed at the same time.
And then,
what is Lady Gaga doing in the film?
Lady Gaga's trying to kill me.
Well, who is it?
Isn't that true of everyone?
You know what? She went and got a fake tattoo put on by It says, my picture with Machete Kills, and Mark Mahoney did it.
You know, no kidding.
Yeah. So, wow. So, in fact, I met her at Mark Mahoney's Shamrock Tattoo. I walked in, and she was there getting a tattoo, and we started talking. And I told Mark that I was getting ready to do Machete Kills, and Lady Gaga. I said, God, I'd love to take a part in that. And so, so I called Robert Rodriguez and told him, and then I guess, you know, the wheels got into motion, and next thing I know.
Nobody says no to you, do they? Anyone on the planet.
Sometimes they go, no, please, no. I'm teasing.
Charlie Sheen plays the president of the United States in this movie, right?
God, that guy's an amazing actor. You have never been. He is so amazing. You know, when he jumps up and says, I'm the president of the United States. It was like Obama yelling at me. I could see the big ships going dun 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 dun.
When do we get to see Machete Kills?
September. And then
I can't wait.
Mel Gibson also, he plays the major bad guy.
Uh huh.
And
I
have a sword fight.
You take him out.
Him.
All right.
I have a sword fight with him. But when Robert said action, I threw down my sword and I said, I'm not fighting William Wallace. Are you crazy?
That's right. Well, this movie sounds like so much fun. Is he, knowing Robert Rodriguez as you do, is he already excited about another one?
Yeah.
He's already looking forward to the next one.
They're doing Sin City right now. And then we're finishing up. We'll get started on Machete in Outer Space.
That's Machete in Outer Space. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's funny because really the first Machete was Machete Kills.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's what the movie was about.
He did kill a lot.
So now, does he kill more in this one?
Well, 28 gallons of fake blood were used in the first half of the movie. I think that was just on me.
I can't wait.
Well, listen, Danny, it always goes by so fast when you stop by. But I want to ask you one more question before you go. And because I'm so inspired by your story, your upbringing, and how your early life went compared to where it is now. And you go out and you give a lot of speeches and everything. What's the secret? How do you turn your life around if you're on the wrong path like you were and turn yourself into the kind of citizen you became?
Well, I think for a lot of guys, you know, I think first of all, you got to give up alcohol and drugs. And a lot of people don't want to admit it, but, you know, I know a whole lot of guys that are in prison just because of alcohol and drugs.
And had they been able to give it up, they would be on a different
path. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, I dedicated my life to helping other people. I thank God my son right now, you know, we just went through the death of my mom and his grandma, and he's doing a film right now.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Wow. So, kickstart. Snapshot is the key word.
You know, okay.
Okay. But, drugs and alcohol. So what do you do if you don't have, like, a support system or role models or something like that? What? Where do you find
they
help?
There are self-help groups. There's AA, there's NA, there's CA, there's all these groups that I don't even care if you don't have a problem. It's like they work. You know, they work. You take a daily inventory of what's going on in your life. I do. I say my prayers in the morning. I get up. I try to, like, be the best person I can be. Because I'm only competing with one person. That's me. I want to be a better person today than I was yesterday.
That's beautiful.
And it's like I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay.
I'd say you're doing better than all right.
Yeah, I'd say you're doing all right, too.
I got a couple of people that I'm going to work with today. You know, you just got to help somebody. You know, because we are so self-involved, you know, everything is about me, about me, about me. It's like you look at all the actors in this business. This business is a blessing. I don't care if you're in radio, TV, television, anything. It's like it's a blessing. And you look at all the actors that problem after problem after problem. They give nothing back.
Yeah,
it's all about me, me, me. This is what I want to do. You know, this is what I want to do. And it's like, you know, I want to know what you want to do. You know, how can I help you? And life just seems to get better.
You could help me with not killing me.
That's my answer. For starters. All right.
Step one.
You know what? Call Kickstart, and if you donate some money, I'll kill you on film.
All right, good.
Machete Kills comes out on September the 13th, Tattoo Nation, which is an awesome, awesome documentary. If you have any kind of interest in art or tattoos or Southern California, you're really going to love this movie. It's opening up everywhere on Thursday, April 4th, including at the ArcLight Hollywood. Yeah, Danny, you're welcome back anytime, my friend.
I'll probably be at the ArcLight.
Oh, you will?
Oh, good.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to try to make one of those.
Thursday, April 4th?
That's great.
Yeah, tonight, I'm going to be there's a premiere.
No kidding.
So have fun. Yeah. Danny, come back and see us anytime, my friend.
Thank you, Holmes. Thank you so much, man.
We appreciate it.
Ralph Garman is here now. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean show. Good morning, Ralph.
Reminding folks again, Saturday night at 8, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our Hollywood Babylon show up at the John Lovitz Theater. We'd love to have you come out and watch us talk crap about people who have better lives than we do.
Longer form, worse language.
Yeah, it's Showbiz Beat with really disgusting language and more alcohol and weed involved. So 8 o'clock at the John Lovitz. Go to csmod, SEESMOD.com for details and for tickets. And before we get into the showbiz news, Lisa, anything you'd like to say to the people?
Well, I would like to say that the person that I said was going to be in the movie is actually the voice and the model for the game for Tomb Raider.
Yeah, we're talking about Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
So about being in the movie.
I'm 50% right in that she is the heart of the Lara Croft franchise.
Right.
But it's
we were talking about the movie, the reboot movie franchise.
We were talking about the movie, which means you're 100% right.
So when I said casting, no word on casting yet, you said, there is casting
for the game.
No one was talking about the game.
No one really was.
I was. Clearly.
Clearly you were. Yeah, so Camilla Luddington, not in the movie, but she did.
But she's definitely on Grey's Anatomy.
She is.
All right.
And definitely in the game, Tomb Raider game. Okay, now we've got
I did that.
Yep.
I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
I did a bad thing.
Lisa's not good at apologizing.
All clear. Justin Bieber, if he's trying to get people off the Bieber's circling the drain storyline, he's not doing a very good job of
it. No, he's not.
You remember he got all pissy when people were writing stuff about him, saying, oh, they're just jealous because I'm 19 and this is just the beginning?
Look at my paycheck.
Yeah.
Because
he guzzled scissorp with his shirt off. Well, now he's got more problems. Not only has he been accused of battery by his neighbor after driving his Ferrari recklessly around the neighborhood 100 miles an hour, and this guy confronted him. And I mentioned earlier in the week that he threw a punch at him. What I didn't know until today, we read more details about it, was that he also spit on that neighbor.
Guilty, 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 guilty.
And threatened to effing kill him.
He sure makes that threat a lot.
This is all the neighbor's point of view. This is all his story. Mm-hmm. The Bieber camp is denying that any of that happened. And if you can't trust Bieber, who can you trust?
That's true.
But then also, I forgot to mention that he was leaving Poland. It was the end of his overseas tour. He was coming back to the States. And photos from the London Daily Mail show him at his security checkpoint wearing no shirt, pants pulled down around his thighs, showing off almost all of his white underwear. It was 14 degrees in Poland that day, by the way, when he was walking around shirtless.
He seems like a tool.
Yeah, that's him. That's our boy.
And he did.
That's the Beeps.
He can't think he looks good without a shirt, can he?
I think he thinks he looks great without a shirt.
Really?
I think, well, it's also swag, you know? No. It's swag.
I mean, I'm sure he thinks he looks good. I'm sure a lot of people think he looks like he's in pretty good shape. But
well,
it just doesn't make any sense to walk around with your shirt off. Like how, like you pointed out last week, Ralph, everything he does is, hey, look at me. You're already an internationally famous pop star. You don't need to take off your shirt to have people look at you.
And regarding his body, all he is not fat.
Right.
That's all he's got going on.
Super white.
He's skinny.
Not muscular.
Kid. Yeah.
I mean, he's just not the kind of person that should be showing off.
He's not Mark Wahlberg, for God's sakes. He's not Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
So anyway, douche. I love Southland more than most things in life. Last night's episode was fan-freaking-tastic. And now this disturbs me because news comes from ABC that Regina King has just been added to a new comedy pilot called Divorce, A Love Story. Regina King, of course, is one of the stars of Southland, which always disturbs me when I see some of my favorite stars from one show have taken another job in television.
It's happened a lot recently.
Because you rarely can do two series at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So some people said I'm overreacting. Perhaps her character Lydia is simply being written off the show. To which I say, believe whatever you need to, people. Whatever makes you sleep at night. But the show, Divorce, A Love Story, features Adam Goldberg. Regina will play his wife on the show. And I wish her the best.
Yeah.
But I sure would miss Southland if it went away.
How unbelievable. They're all great on the show. But yes. Cutlets in particular, this season,
has just
slayed me.
He's remarkable. But the whole cast, like you mentioned, Sean Hattasey.
Yeah, great.
And even see Thomas Kenzie. Howell's had an amazing season.
Yep.
Boy, what a good cast. I would miss that show if it goes away. KISS has announced a new promotion.
Can you believe
KISS is trying to promote themselves?
What?
That's so not like
them. Merchandise or something for the first time?
Well, this is going to be an animated TV series. To which initially I thought, oh, how cool would it be to see a Kiss animated show, like that old TV movie they did, Kiss in the Phantom of Amusement Park City or whatever.
It was one of the worst movies ever.
It was one of the best movies ever. They had like superpowers and they were fighting crime and everything. It was awesome.
You could certainly do that with a cartoon, though.
Yes,
right?
You could. Yeah. And then I read what Gene Simmons announced today, and it's the Kiss Hello Kitty series.
Oh, really?
Kiss as Hello Kitty characters.
Not every two things go great together, by the way.
That means it's just going to be cats with big heads with demon makeup on? Come on, Anderson. This is a serious news story.
Not really.
Gene Simmons says it's four Kiss Hello Kitty characters living their rock and roll dreams and bringing pink anarchy to every situation they're in. Anderson.
Together.
Trying to do a show here.
All right, it's a bad idea.
It'll be on the hub, so you can check that out.
But we don't have to, right?
No.
No,
it's not. Okay, won't be on the hub.
Nobody says you have to.
Tell you that.
Okay, good.
Today's celebrity birthday is Lady Gaga. Celebrates her 27th birthday today.
Is she also the new Tomb Raider, Lisa?
I believe she is.
You're just making stuff up.
Why not? Well. Just pick a name out at random.
Right.
Julia Stiles, 32 years old today. We'll be playing Lara Croft, the new Tomb Raider movie. Shanna Moakler.
Oh.
Also Lara Croft, the new Tomb Raider movie.
She's a good choice, by the way.
She is 38 years old today. Kate Gosselin, who will be playing Lara Croft in the new Tomb Raider movie, is 38. Vince Vaughn, starring as Lara Croft in the new Tomb Raider film, is 43. Brett Ratner, who's directing the new Tomb Raider film, celebrates 44 years today. And Salt of Salt and Pepper, Cheryl James, is 47 years old today. They're on the soundtrack, yeah. Of course, for the new Tomb Raider movie.
Sure.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show. She has a Comedy Central stand-up special. Kristen Shaw will be in the studio.
I love her. She's so funny.
We also have Nick Offerman, speaking of funny people.
Wow. Oh, I love him. He's so funny.
We can have a mustache off.
Yes, you can.
I can't wait.
Yes, you can.
Finally, someone worthy and a worthy opponent for my mustache.
We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have your Coachella tickets. And unfortunately, the season finale of The Walking Dead is this Sunday.
Oh.
But we do have Robert Kirkman, the creator, in the studio tomorrow. So we'll be able to talk to him about it, and he'll give us zero answers
yep.
about the season finale, which will be Sunday. But we got Robert Kirkman tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.